My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hope you're having a great Monday. We are, and we are getting ready for training camp, which starts on Wednesday. And you'll get all of the latest info, all of the latest interviews, all of everything right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are your home for the Atlanta Falcons, guys, and more importantly, we are your home for the NFL. And the season is, believe it or not, is right around the corner. We're going to get to our NFL blitz. John Harbaugh saying some very interesting things when it comes to Lamar Jackson. and a guy that I think you have an issue with. Which is
why do you keep saying I have an issue?
Because you have an opinion.
It's not an issue.
No.
I have an opinion.
That's what you call it?
No. Yes, that's exactly what it is. You say issue, it denotes the audience that there is something negative going to happen.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
It's not.
How do you feel about Jordan Love?
I don't know. I don't know what he is. 8 games is not enough sample size to know what anybody is in this league.
That's not what you said out there.
What I said is he's got some extra large huevos for asking for a contract. But I mean, look. You know when the right time to ask for a contract is?
When?
When you feel like asking for a contract, right? Like, you just ask for it because why not? It's money. And, you know, when you have leverage, you leverage hard in life. And so, Jordan Love, after 8 games, feels like he has leverage.
That's it.
Okay. I'm not debating the timing of this whole thing. What I'm saying here is, landscape-wise, if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I go tell that dude, pound sand.
Mm.
No shot. Because here's the problem. And this goes back to what we talked about on Friday.
You're really going to say that?
The Trevor Lawrence contract is the only reason why Jordan Love actually has leverage right now. Because that contract was so bad, and because it was given out improperly, that's the reason why this can exist, simply because, guess what? Trevor Lawrence has played 8 good games at quarterback and won a playoff game he should have never won. Jordan Love has played 8 good games at quarterback and actually won a playoff game he deserved to win because he played really well.
He was great.
So the point simply is that you can't give Jordan Love that contract Trevor Lawrence got, because that's what his agents are going in there going, look what that guy is.
No,
and guess what? He didn't win a division last year. My guy won a division.
You're right.
Right?
Well,
and
was a playoff team, yes. Lions won the division.
Right, I'm sorry. You're right. So he's using that scenario that Trevor Lawrence getting that contract as the reason to push for this thing. But if you're the Packers, you don't know what he is. You don't know. Like, you have an idea. You feel good about it, but
you've seen enough.
Dukes, you've seen this happen.
18 touchdowns, 1 interception over the last 8 games.
If
our guy did that here in Atlanta, we'd be losing our blank.
I have the best comp for you in the world that is going to be all the reason you need not to sign him. And you want to know what it is?
What is it?
His name is Baker Mayfield. Do you remember Baker Mayfield's first year in Cleveland? 27 touchdowns.
Number one pick.
Right? He played started 13 games, 27 touchdowns, set the rookie record for most touchdowns thrown.
Mr. Sensitive himself.
What happened the following year? A 54 quarterback rating, 78, you know, QBR.
Okay, let me hear. Zeno.
And 21 interceptions and a team that missed the playoffs.
Zeno. Jordan Love is more physically gifted than Baker Mayfield.
Not according to the draft, he's not.
And that's why the draft is jacked up. He's a more physically gifted quarterback. His arm talent is way better.
Okay, I'm not debating that. What I'm saying here is 8 games is not a big enough sample size for you to get any sort of grasp.
So that's your issue.
My issue is the 8 games. I can't pay a guy based off of 8 games. I can't. If I'm going to pay. Listen, what are we just talking about?
I thought you didn't have an issue. I thought it was an opinion.
It is an opinion.
It's an issue.
My opinion is you shouldn't pay him. But like in reality, think about like if you give him a contract of what the going rate is, of what Trevor Lawrence got, and he flames out real quick in a year and a half, you're stuck.
They're the youngest team in the NFL.
That's by design.
They're the youngest team in the NFL. His wide receiving core is the youngest wide receiving core in the NFL.
Yeah, but you know what the problem is, dude?
I'm just telling you.
When you put young plus young plus young, you know what? You get a lot of mistakes.
No, what you get is we're going to be good potentially for a very long time.
That's the optimistic point of view. The realistic point of view is that.
And the only way you do that is to lock your quarterback up. And the reason why we're talking about this, by the way.
You can lock him up easily. It's called a franchise tag. You got 2 of them in a row.
Come on, he's not doing that. The reason why we're talking about this is
because the team's leverage is.
Love has said, I will be at camp.
Yeah, I'll be there.
But I'm not playing.
Not practicing.
Until I get a new deal.
So you give me money.
Now, he's not saying that. He's saying that his agent is.
Which is kind of childish, too.
What? See, you have an issue. Why is it childish?
Walk into the coach's office.
You just said he had leverage.
He does have leverage. But still, walk into the coach's office, explain to him the situation, and don't have your agent do that. And then or at least the way the Packers made this public smells bad. Right? It doesn't smell like it's already going to be amicable. Well, their agent told me that he's not going to practice. Right? Like, it seems very, very demonstrative and like an accost and affront to Green Bay. They don't feel good about it. It's one of those things where if it comes from the head coach, had a talk with Jordan. This is his stance. We understand where he is. We respect it. He's our quarterback. We have every expectation that he'll be a long term. And the whole thing dies. But when you hear it this way from the GM, well, his agent told us he's not practicing. It's like, oh, really? So you're just standing in the corner by yourself, twiddling your thumbs, not talking to anybody? Is that how this goes?
He might be lifting. I mean, he might get a milkshake. Who knows? He's there. You know what I mean? He's there. He wants to be with his team, but you can only have so many times in this league where you can get paid.
Agree. I just, if I'm the Packers, I tell him, you're not getting a new deal.
You tell him to go pound sand.
You're not getting a new deal.
18 touchdowns, 1 interception over the last 8 games, and a humiliating beatdown of the Cowboys, and you're going to go tell him to pound sand.
That was the defense's fault, not his.
404-726-0929.
Dukes, you can't do it off 8. Come on, you can't give him a contract. If we would have given Kyle Pitts a contract after 8 games.
He was hurt!
Not the first year he wasn't. If they were allowed to,
He was playing with a Hall of Famer.
Okay. Aggressive. Theoretically, okay, if we were allowed to give him a contract at the first year and you paid him at that point in time, what would we be saying now about that contract? We'd be telling him it's a terrible deal.
Yes, but don't we judge quarterbacks who have the ball in their hands every play differently?
Of course we do.
And that is why.
Doesn't that also mean you need a longer run? Daniel Jones and Jordan Love have the same number of playoff wins. 1.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is a bum.
But you're right, he is, but that's the point. If the Giants would have paid him after 1 good year, they did pay him, but you know they structured the contract so they can get out of it.
Yes, and he's on, and I say only $40 million compared to what these other guys, the top 10 guys, are making 50, right. 55, right. 52.
So my point is, I think there's a precedent. There's more precedent set to not pay him than there is to pay him.
Okay, and maybe that plays out. I will say this: I think he gets a contract, and he'll be at camp, and he'll be playing sooner than later.
And this is the problem when it comes to quarterbacks.
What?
When it comes to leverage. They have teams so nervous. You want to know why? Because bird in the hand, man. If you do have one.
Yeah, you got to hold on.
You got to hold on.
You got to hold on.
You got to hold on like all hell, which, again, begs the question. Can I just bring this back up? Why the hell you dumped Matt Ryan for a guy you didn't have?
Well, let me ask you this, and then we got to get to Blitz. If Jordan Love was here, right, would you pay him? The answer is yes. Because after what we just went through, if he was to come in after Mariota and after what we saw with Desmond Ridder, and last year, let's just hypothetically say they played 2 years, 1 year each. Last year, we saw Jordan Love do what he did to the Packers. We went to the playoffs. We beat the Cowboys. We're paying him. I guarantee you everybody in the ATL will be like, we're paying this dude. We got to pay him.
I think it's an emotional decision. I think emotionally you're tied to what you saw for 8 games, and you're going to ignore the first 9-game sample where he was terrible.
Well, he's learning on the job.
Oh, no, there we go. Now,
can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
He should have beat us. He started running his mouth. That is the story that we were told. Is he was on the field and he started yapping about, and all of a sudden things change and the Packers lose. That's what we heard. But that's just maturity. That's just him growing and being.
Listen, I'm not saying he's not going to be good. I just don't know. I do.
He's good. He's good, Zeno.
Okay, so one more thing here real quick.
What? You got another issue?
No. Stop with the issue, okay? Issues are for therapists. This isn't therapy. It's Sports Talk Radio.
Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself.
I got a lot of therapy. Anyway, so the way we categorize quarterbacks here. So, because Orin and I were having this discussion pre-show, right?
Yes.
Like, he's good. Is he good enough to win you a Super Bowl?
Yes and no.
How do you know that?
How do you know that anybody is? Josh Allen hadn't gotten there, but we feel like he's good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Bills.
There's a huge gap between Allen and Love. Come on.
But this is the point. How do you know?
You don't know, but
you know because you feel like what you've seen is the proof.
I thought you said you weren't supposed to be emotional. I don't want to feel it. I want empirical data. I got empirical data that Josh Allen can win a Super Bowl.
The only way you get empirical data is you
do it.
No, you have years of watching
right.
it.
Right. Nobody. We don't have years with Jordan Love.
This is the NFL.
We got 8 games.
This is winning now. We got to win now. This isn't. You think. Do you think that there's a team right now? Well, there's probably two that are saying to themselves as camp gets underway, we have no shot to win.
All 32 teams are saying we got a shot.
Everybody's saying they have a shot. And part of that is because...
Some people are foolish.
Well, but we don't know until we get a chance to see them. And like with Jordan Love, remember all those years he was behind Aaron Rodgers since you've taken me down this road? And everybody said, I don't know if he can play. We don't know if he can play. And he gets his opportunity. And then he does that? Come on, man.
He does that in the first 9 games or the last 8?
It's all about the final result.
You got to look at all 7. You got to grade all 17 games equally. You can't put more weight to the last 8. You can't do that.
How did we get here, by the way? Oh, you had an issue with Jordan Love.
I didn't
have
an issue. I had an opinion.
404-726-0929. I do. I do have an issue with you. Absolutely, I do.
It's a long list.
Can I hear John Harbaugh real quick? NFL Blitz brought to you by friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. He went in and defended Lamar Jackson. A lot of people are talking about this. This was Sunday, and this was partly due to a question where, he was asked about the criticism directed at the NFL's reigning MVP, Harbaugh.
I used to tell you, don't read your press clippings, right? We don't really have press clippings anymore. We got the phones and the computers. Press clipping, at least if it was bad, you could throw it up and throw it in the trash can. Now I do flip through them, to be honest with you. I read the stuff. I see the guys say what they say on the shows. At least I get clips of them because they come up on your phone. And the good ones, I just scroll past because, that's candy. That's not real. But the bad ones, it's like I read it right away, I don't let it go. And that's okay. That's part of the deal.
So I want you to play the other soundbite, Big O behind the glass today, our engineer. Turtle's going to have the 7 o'clock show, the night show tonight. So he is off. But John Harbaugh talking about, this thing with Lamar. And again, his response is not only defending Lamar, but he's saying, listen, there's a lot of garbage out there, that is written about guys, and specifically his quarterback, that are not only unfair, but he says, hey, we can't pay attention to that stuff.
The vision for Lamar Jackson, and it's a vision, it's something you see it like it's already happened. You can see it like it's already been done. The victory has already been won. When you pour into a vision. And the vision that we have together is that Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback ever to play in the history of the National Football League. That's the vision, all right?
Oh, snap! The greatest... you got to play that back for me. The greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL?
If we still wore britches, those are some big britches that Harbaugh is throwing out there.
And he was pretty demonstrative, too, when he said this.
That's insane.
I mean, I thought he almost took his shirt off.
Because Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback ever to play in the history of the National Football League.
That's
the vision.
Physically not possible. Physically not possible.
History.
Like, that is an outlandish... Do we have the full context of that quote? Are we missing anything?
No. I'm positive.
What was the question?
The question had to
The question was, John, can you make the dumbest statement possible?
No. Oh. It had to do with the criticism directed at the reigning MVP for not reaching the Super Bowl.
Okay, but the criticism is valid.
And then he delivered a 43-second response.
That's
you
horrible.
Heard that in
yeah,
two points. Yeah. Or in two sound bites. The first point was, hey, I don't read that garbage. And then his second point was what you heard there. The greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Look, can I tell you something? The greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL never failed as often as Lamar did in big spots to this point in his career. You know what happened the first time Brady got to an AFC Championship game? He won it. You know what happened the first time he got to the Super Bowl? He won it. What happened to Mahomes first time he got to an AFC championship? Oh, he lost that one to the Patriots. The second one. He lost it to the greatest football player ever.
Yes.
First time he got to a Super Bowl. He won it, right? I mean.
So what are you saying? Lamar can't redeem himself with four Super Bowls or five Super Bowls? Do that?
I don't have $100,000 currently, but I would bet you $100,000 that he's not winning five Super Bowls.
I like Harbaugh's response.
Not in the AFC.
It's hard. It's hard. Hi. But I like Harbaugh's response. He said the vision for Lamar and the vision we had.
Oh, the vision was the key word.
He said the vision.
The vision.
Is that
he's got a vision board? Is it on Pinterest?
He's going to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. All right, we got to take a break. We're coming back.
That's so Harbaugh,
Zeno
by the way.
Is in for Mike today. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I love Harbaugh, man.
John's great.
I love both of the Harbaughs.
Yeah, they're great. I don't know how you don't like them.
All right, we're coming back. ACC Media Day is going on. And guess what? ACC just put its foot down. We'll tell you about it next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Radio 92.9 The Game, Mark Zeno in for Mike. One of the things we're talking about is ACC Media Day. Now, we're going to get a chance to talk with Brent Key coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. We'll talk to him about the players he took to ACC Media Days, including Haynes King. I think Haynes King's going to have a great year at quarterback for Georgia Tech. But Jim Phillips.
What year of college is he in? Six? Seven?
Well, yeah, because he transferred from A&M. Yeah. And I think he got the extra COVID year.
He was somewhere before A&M, too, I think. A&M wasn't his first school.
No, I think you're right. But I do like what I like what I saw last year, and I think he gives them an advantage.
Yeah, he's a talented kid.
Out of Longview, Texas. But he is going to be one of those guys. If he plays well, Georgia Tech's going to be in every game this season. But Jim Phillips is head of the conference, and I just want you to hear what he had to say in regards to teams trying to exit the conference. Specifically, he is alluding to, obviously, Clemson and Florida State and what's going on right now. And for all of you who don't know, the commissioner, Jim Phillips, today said the league is going to fight all the lawsuits. They are trying to exit or find a way out of the ACC because of the media rights deal. And so the irony to all of this, and I had who did I have on this weekend? On my national show, I had on Brent from the Action Network. I'm trying to remember. And he was Brett McMurphy. Thank you.
Okay.
And he was telling me, Zeno, that neither the SEC or the Big 12, excuse me, the Big 10, want to take on any teams. So even if they find an exit strategy or they find some way out of this contract, the idea is that both of these teams are going to end up in either the Big 10 or potentially SEC. And he was saying it's just not happening. Like, it's not going to happen with what just took place in college football with the demise of the Pac-12 and now, obviously, Texas and OU coming into the SEC. It does leave the Big 12, but again, does that where you want to be? So let's hear from Commissioner Phillips about this. This is what he said today, just literally moments ago.
As I turn my attention to the year ahead, I must directly address the ongoing disputes with two of our members about the contracts they each signed twice and whether they will honor those agreements. With multiple ongoing legal cases, there are limits to what I can say, but I can state that we will fight to protect the ACC and our members for as long as it takes. We are confident in this league and that it will remain a premier conference in college athletics for the long-term future. These disputes continue to be extremely damaging, disruptive, and incredibly harmful to the league, as well as overshadowing our student-athletes and the incredible successes taking place on the field and within the conference. People feel passionate about athletics, and they feel particularly passionate about college athletics at their respective schools. This passion is what makes college athletics so special. But this passion can also lead to personal attacks.
That's Jim Phillips, commissioner of the ACC, saying we will do everything we can and fight to keep the conference together. Again, I just feel like, and he's right, all the legal stuff's got to play out. Everyone that I've talked to said eventually it's going to happen. My problem is, where are you going? See, when Texas and Oklahoma, when that whole rumor started, right, and it's been like 4 years now, and I remember getting that text and going, what? And they're like, we're going to SEC. And I was like, what? But there was a plan. They had a landing place. Clemson and Florida State does not right now. And so for all of the conversation about where this is going, and you hear Jim Phillips discuss that is part of the discussion. We're going to ask Brent Key about this. I know it has nothing to do with Georgia Tech, but it could, because if the ACC is disrupted, all of a sudden you could be looking at schools scrambling and trying to find a new landing place. I don't know if that's going to happen for Georgia Tech. You can say we're not in it right now. It doesn't concern us, but it might, because all you need is two schools to say we're out. Oregon and Washington, USC, UCLA, we're out. All of a sudden, the whole conference changes. And if that was to happen with potentially Clemson and Florida State, and then North Carolina says, well, you know what, we want out, and Duke says, well, we want to go where they're going, all of a sudden, the conference is not what it once was. And that is what Phillips is trying to protect.
Well, you should be inviting more in.
They did. SMU?
That wasn't who they should have invited.
Well, we know. Stanford?
I mean, you should have got what was left of the Pac-12 and brought it in.
Well, I agree with that. But part of it is everybody said, well, who are you going to bring in? Stanford, we get it. You know, academically, it's brilliant. But it just makes no sense. The travel involved and the things that they're going to have to do to compete in the ACC just makes no sense. But this is where we're at in college football. SMU, all right, it gets you into the Texas footprint. SMU's, resurgence. Good, they got a nice program. How much better did they make the ACC? They added teams. I just don't know if they were the right teams.
No, and again, that's it. I mean, these group of five teams that we're now are being asked to elevate, the benefit's all on them. It's not on you. I mean, the only reason for Clemson and Florida State to stay is they'll flip-flop championships every single year. Right? It's Georgia and Alabama in the SEC until this new version of it. Didn't really matter. We knew it was a fait accompli. Those two teams are going to play for one of those two teams was playing for the SEC championship definitively.
Yeah.
But if not, both of them were.
And Cal. That was the other school I forgot. They added the Cal Golden Bears.
That's going to be one heck of a trip to go out there once again.
It's a pretty campus, but that's neither here nor there. 404-726-0929. Let me hear more of Jim Phillips as we talk about ACC media days going on.
You know, would Vanderbilt ever leave the SEC for the ACC?
Why?
I know the money would be way too much to leave, but you'd be a much more viable team in the ACC. You'd have more than three or four wins every year. You'd make bowl games.
Does it matter? I mean, honestly, does it matter?
Vandy, no, it doesn't. Vandy is not there to be athletically competitive.
But they're great. I mean, listen, they're a baseball team. We've said this.
It's an incredible school.
It is.
A degree from Vanderbilt goes a hell of a long way. In the eyes of a lot of companies across America.
And for what it does for the SEC is also good. But works in both ways. I just don't think you change conferences.
What does it do for the SEC? It gives every team a free win every year?
No, I'm talking academically.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. They're just carrying the whole conference.
But I'll say this.
Nobody speeds on their campus either?
In this landscape, well, you don't hear about it.
Okay.
In this landscape.
But you're busy studying.
It's literally downtown Nashville. Hell, I mean, it's,
There's enough trouble they can get into?
But in this college football landscape, there's no reason to change conferences to say, hey, we want to win more games. This thing's going to eventually change anyway. I think, and we've been saying this, right? The Big Ten, SEC, eventually, do we just go to one big-ass conference?
No.
Everybody's in there.
Can't do that.
Why?
There's too many teams.
There's 18 teams in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah, but you can't have like one conference with 30 teams in it. Like,
why
that's
not?
Where you play one team every 5 years?
I'm just saying. I mean, this is, I think, the vision eventually when we get to the expanded playoff and if these two powerhouses, we're talking about the Big Ten and the SEC, continue to control college football, who's to say that's not what's going to happen?
The expanded playoff is now something that was a byproduct of teams moving and is now the cause more teams will move. Right? This is a symbiotic relationship between these two things.
Because the ACC wants to have as many teams as they can in the playoff.
Right.
Absolutely.
And guess what? Expansion sucks. And it's going to end up killing part of the sport. Like, the more that this stuff is going to happen, the more that they're going to sit there and get together and go, well, we've had a couple of iterations of 12 teams. You know what we need?
16.
We need four super conferences. We need 16 seeds. Yeah. Right. Like, you know, because the playoff has to match the regular season. Right? Like, that's where it does everywhere with the exception of college football and college basketball, right? The playoff, your seeding, what you did in the regular season, relates directly to the playoff. You know, it's predetermined where you're going to be, and that's convenient and easy for everybody to understand. The reason why we hated, not say we, the reason why unintelligent people hated the college football playoff and the BCS was because they couldn't understand why one team was chosen over another. They looked at it and said, well, this is too objective. Again, how did Georgia get left out last year? Well, they got left out because they lost. That's how they got left out. But the point simply being, when you take that objectivity out of it, now you make the regular season match up with the playoffs and the postseason format, it's an easy, natural win for everybody. But I think that's eventually where you're headed is four super conferences renamed and re-everything else, and you'll get to 16 with top four seeds getting a bye, and then everything else works through.
Let me hear Jim Phillips talk about NIL real quick. We've got Coach Brent Key on the way in the 4 o'clock hour at Georgia Tech. We will talk to him about the opener in Dublin, but also about the conference and much more. Here's what Commissioner Jim Phillips said about NIL.
In March, I participated in the NIL College Sports Roundtable with Nick Saban, Senator Ted Cruz, and the Cavender Twins, among others. While the proposed resolution of the House case is one step, we must remain steadfast in our efforts for federal legislation. This includes actively discussing with Congress a national solution that will create a fairness and clarity around student-athlete NIL opportunities, a declaration solidifying our athletes are students, not employees, and narrow liability protection so we may continue to modernize college sports without the threat of ongoing lawsuits.
I got to tell you something here real quick.
What's that?
I mean, could you have any more of a robotic tenor in what he was reading? There was like zero passion. Like, you could tell he didn't believe a word of that. Like, he was just reading what somebody handed him. Thank you, Ron Burgundy. Like, you know, I just don't get it.
He wrote that. I don't know what you're saying. He wrote that.
You could tell he was definitely reading. I was like, I'm like, dude. I mean, I'm having a hard time believing that you actually mean this stuff. It just didn't. He didn't sell it to me at all.
I understand. That's Jim Phillips. Coming up, yeah, man, no, man. Big O has that for us. We're going to talk to Connor Riley about the Dogs and all things SEC related. And also coming up, Brent Key is on the way, Georgia Tech head football coach here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Game.
Coming up about an hour from now, I've got to tell you about one of the most amazing shows I've ever watched. I also have to tell you what's going on with my daughter, which disrupted a very important meeting today. Very important meeting. Zeno, are you there?
How about no?
Okay, I just was curious. You know, I knew you weren't there. I just messed with you. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell.
The boss mentioned that to me when he walked through the door.
Oh, he asked you where you were?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said I only found out about it on Friday.
That is true, though.
And I also reminded him I haven't been to staff meeting in over a year.
Okay.
Nobody misses me in those things.
Well.
No, don't even sit here and try to BS me. People look around the room and go, where's Zeno?
Because you ask questions.
I'm inquisitive.
You're that guy. That's why.
I want to know.
We've been sitting there for an hour, and then all of a sudden, here you go. 4, 5, 6 lead questions. That's why.
I mean, listen.
What?
The things I found out about that meeting today? I didn't. If I was there, I wouldn't need to ask any questions because we know the answer.
We're done. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Follow the show. Dukes and Bell 929. Mike will be back tomorrow and Wednesday. We are at training camp Wednesday, Thursday, Friday as the Falcons get underway. We will be broadcasting live at Hooters Mall of Georgia all 3 days. So we invite you guys to come out and hang out with us. We'd love to get a chance to see you guys. We got to get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Actually, it was a great meeting that we had today. And basically, we were just talking about our dominance here in the market. This hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair.
That's why I was left out of the meeting.
Driven by excellence.
You're building, part of that dominance, Zeno.
Building successful partnerships. Yes, you are. You're part of it.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were talking about
I wouldn't lead with that.
No, it's true. But we were talking about how, you know, morning shifts, steakhouse, thank you. Andy and Randy, everybody's just crushing it, and we're having a good time.
Did Steak have any questions in the meeting?
No, Steak
fell asleep.
Yeah, he was tired. He was tired today.
Put his head down and fell asleep in the meeting.
I didn't see him fall asleep, but I just know he was tired.
Turn around, I saw his head sitting over there on the...
I was up all night. It's like, doing what?
Whatever Steak does when he's up all night.
I was preparing recipes.
Yeah, I mean...
new episodes.
He was dreaming of a turkey Reuben somewhere.
New episodes. No, he was fine. Everybody that was there, Mike Johnson, you know, I forget how big Mike Johnson is every time I roll up on him.
A large human being.
Yeah, man.
He's not as big as he used to be.
Well, of course. He's not. Everybody, when you're in college, you're lifting weights like that. But you forget, like, how, you know, big these guys are. Mike played in the NFL, obviously played at Alabama. So, but saw Mike. I don't see him or Bo like I used to. Bo obviously was a part of this show. But it was good to see everybody.
Bo
anyways.
Talk to you, huh?
I'm sorry?
Bo talked to you, huh?
Yeah, he said what's up.
Yeah, okay.
Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. What you got, Big O?
Let's start here in the National Football League, guys. It was a really big hullabaloo in what to do when Aaron Rodgers decided that he wasn't going to go to mandatory OTAs. Instead, he was going to take a trip to Egypt, a place that he'd always wanted to go. Went to go to Egypt, and Robert Saleh was there, kind of left holding the bag, like he's supposed to be here. It's excused. It's not like
he wasn't left holding the bag. He was an idiot.
Well, that too. Yes, nobody knew exactly what to say or how to say.
No, yes, they did. They just chose not to say it.
Oh, they chose not to say it. Either way, Aaron didn't show up, and he's back now, saying all the right things, I guess, or trying to say all the right things. But he was on the Part of My Take podcast, and they asked him about this unexcused absence, and Aaron said, like, hey, it's really not that big of a deal.
Was it a problem that it was inexcused?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I'll get fined for that. But
yeah.
The thing that I think people don't understand is that when I was in the NFC North and playing for that team years ago, there used to be a real thing called mini camp where it was you had one of them usually. Sometimes it was right after the draft. But either way, it was five practices in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So two practices on Friday, two on Saturday, one on Sunday. Now it's not mini camp. They can arbitrarily put a tag on whatever week of OTAs they want.
Yeah.
So this is the mini camp week, which makes it somehow more mandatory than the other weeks. But it was an OTA schedule. That's how it's, you know, how words can be a little deceiving from time to time. You can make a story out of the fact that I missed a mini camp when it was really two OTA days.
Right.
Interesting.
That came to the first 10.
Yeah, man. No, man. You buy that as a rational excuse as to why he did what he did?
Yeah, man. They knew about this. They knew he was going. He told them about it. And Robert Saleh chose to be a moron and throw his quarterback under the bus in front of the New York media and go, I don't know what's going on.
Unexcused.
All you had to do is say, even if they didn't know, all Robert Saleh did was walk up there and say, Aaron's not here. He's been excused from this. You know, I'll let you guys talk to him about where he is. We're not going to get into the personal details of where he is, but we knew about this ahead of time. We knew he was not going to be here. It's not a big deal. He was with us for the other OTA practices. We got everything we need out of him. And move on.
Wait a minute. But what if Robert Saleh didn't like the fact that Aaron decided to take his vacation?
Okay.
Right at the time that they're asking everybody else to be there.
You handle that ish behind closed doors. You know, you don't bring it out in public. It's like drinking at a remote when you're working. You don't do that. You don't bring it out in public. All right? So the point is that Saleh had a choice there to keep the stuff in-house or air the dirty laundry. He chose to air the dirty laundry.
I don't like the response of Aaron Rodgers because it's almost as if he's telling you that this was more serious back when I played with the Packers and the dates were, you know, they were
No, but I think he was alluding to.
No, that's what he was saying. He's giving you an excuse as to that this wasn't important.
But the way football has gone, like, you know, his early days, those mini camps, you used to be able to hit at.
Correct. Full pass.
Yeah, you used to be able to, like, but at least for 2 days, like, it was different. Now this is just walkthrough stuff. Seven on sevens. Like, it's Aaron freaking Rodgers.
What's that mean? He's coming off of an Achilles. I get it.
I get it. Look, I'm never going to underscore the fact that it's the quarterback. It's the most important position in sports.
Leader.
And he should have been there. I'm not saying that. As far as getting ready for the regular season, as far as actual preparation, does this matter?
No.
Is this going to affect anything in September?
No, I don't think it does.
But that's the point.
But this is the principle behind it.
They could have lied and said Aaron is rehabbing.
They could have, but they chose not to because I think it bothered Robert Saleh.
That dude chose
to do it right then.
And this is what scares me about the Jets because all the talent is there. But your head coach ain't the guy. To this point, he's not the guy. And unless something changes dramatically with 17 games with Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, covers up a lot of warts for a lot of teams, right?
He's coming up as offensive coordinator, yeah. Nathaniel Hackett.
I mean, we know that. So, but Saleh can screw this whole thing up. He easily can. And that's the kind of emotional petulance that you don't want from your head coach. Like, does John Harbaugh ever do that? I don't know. Lamar's not here. It's inexcused. Does that ever happen on the Ravens?
No, it's never happened.
Does that ever happen with the Steelers and Mike Tomlin?
No, it doesn't happen.
Does that happen with Andy Reid?
No, it never happens.
That only happens with the Jets because the guy you hired to be a coach is a goof.
It's a dysfunctional organization.
Of course.
I'm going to say, though, I thought that's a lame excuse simply because he's dismissing it as if, well, when we did this in Green Bay, this is how it was.
You're right.
And then, by the way, this is not that big of a deal. He just downplayed it. So I'm going to say I don't agree with him.
I agree. Listen, if they win the first three games in September, this will be a distant memory.
Oh, no doubt.
Nobody will think twice.
And if they don't, it'll be front and center. What else you got, Big O?
Guys, do you know it's been 18 years since a right tackle has been inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
No, did not know that. That's a long time.
You know who else knows that?
Who?
Willie Young. Offensive lineman for the Bengals, played at Alabama, had a really, really good NFL career. Willie Anderson, though, is upset. Because there's a movie that came out that ruined the whole conception of what right tackles in the NFL should be and instead placed a premium on left tackles. He went on the Up and Adam show and talked about how a certain movie has ruined his Hall of Fame credibility.
I think the media had a bias because they just didn't understand the importance of the guys we blocked over there with some of the best rushes of all time. And the whole blindside thing got taken out because of the movie, and it just got pushed. The right side guys got pushed away.
You think the blindside movie had an effect on your Hall of Fame bid?
Absolutely. Kids here now, you got some kids who are 18, 19 years old that would tell you, because I train kids out of my academy in Atlanta, I only want to play left tackle.
He's not lying.
Yes, he is.
He's not lying. He's
a three-time Hall of Fame finalist, by the way, has not gotten in.
That is a sorry excuse if I've ever heard.
Everybody wants to talk about left tackle. Nobody talks about right tackle.
Can I tell you something?
What?
You know what's changed in the NFL now more than anything?
You need a right tackle?
You got pass rushers on both sides.
You need a right tackle.
Right. You do need one now. It's different now. Back when he played, defenses weren't built like that, man. I mean, look, you ready? Dukes, the two teams, let's call three teams, that had legitimate pass rushers on both ends of on both sides of the field in our heyday. Bears.
Eagles.
Giants. That's it. Right? Like, it was not a commodity like it was now, the way every team is coming from all angles,
yes,
on all sides,
yeah,
and everything. It's just a different scheme and a different style and a different league.
I do feel like,
but
though,
the idea that the movie, come
it
on.
Did.
Oh,
it did. It did. Everybody fell in love with the movie. Sandra Bullock is, oh, she's wonderful. The movie made $1 trillion.
Yeah.
And
you
guess
what?
He's right. Kids
and
see that.
You know what?
Pop culture effects.
Varsity Blues didn't get me my college scholarship to football. That's what it is. Must have been Varsity Blues because Tweeter, a.k.a.
the opinion,
did not have enough because Tweeter changed everything.
That offense was revolutionary. Nobody had seen that
oopty
offense.
Freaking
the
oop.
The oop to you. Nobody's seen the oop to you.
Give me a break. Oop to you.
Let me tell you something.
We got to be the dumbest smart kid I've ever seen.
Friday Night Lights changed people's lives. How people perceive things to be is real. Everybody thinks the left tackle is the most important player on the offensive line. And in fact, it's the center.
Okay.
It just is.
When we get back, I want you to tell me a movie that changed your life.
That changed my life?
Because I know one of mine right off the top of the list. I mean, outside of every Italian mobster movie out there, that don't count.
I'll be happy to tell you the movie that changed my life completely next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Game.
Coming up about an hour from now, I've got to tell you about one of the most amazing shows I've ever watched. I also have to tell you what's going on with my daughter, which disrupted a very important meeting today. Very important meeting. Zeno, are you there?
How about no?
Okay, I just was curious. You know, I knew you weren't there. I just messed with you. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell.
The boss mentioned that to me when he walked through the door.
Oh, he asked you where you were?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Said I only found out about it on Friday.
That is true, though.
And I also reminded him I haven't been to staff meeting in over a year.
Okay.
Nobody misses me in those things.
Well,
no, don't even sit here and try to BS me. People look around the room and go, where's Zeno?
Because you ask questions.
I'm inquisitive.
You're that guy. That's why.
I want to know.
We've been sitting there for an hour, and then all of a sudden, here you go. 4, 5, 6 lead questions. That's why.
I mean, listen.
What?
The things I found out about that meeting today, I didn't. If I was there, I wouldn't need to ask any questions because
you know
the answer.
We're done. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Follow the show. Dukes and Bell 929. Mike will be back tomorrow and Wednesday. We are at training camp Wednesday, Thursday, Friday as the Falcons get underway. We will be broadcasting live at Hooters Mall of Georgia all 3 days. So we invite you guys to come out and hang out with us. We'd love to get a chance to see you guys. We got to get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Actually, it was a great meeting that we had today. And basically, we were just talking about our dominance here in the market. This hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair.
That's why I was left out of the meeting.
Driven by excellence.
You're building, a part of that dominance, Zeno.
Building successful partnerships. Yes, you are. You're part of it.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about
I wouldn't lead with that.
No, it's true. But we were talking about how, you know, morning shifts, steakhouse, thank you. Andy and Randy, everybody's just crushing it. And we're having a good time.
Did Steak have any questions in the meeting?
No, Steak
fell asleep.
Yeah, he was tired. He was tired today.
Put his head down and fell asleep in the meeting.
I didn't see him fall asleep, but I just know he was tired.
Turn around. I saw his head sitting over there on the.
I was up all night. It's like, doing what?
Whatever Steak does when he's up all night.
I was preparing recipes.
Yeah, I mean,
new episodes.
He was dreaming of a turkey Reuben somewhere.
New episodes. No, he was fine. Everybody that was there, Mike Johnson. You know, I forget how big Mike Johnson is every time I roll up on
him. A large human being.
Yeah, man.
He's not as big as he used to be.
Well, of course, he's not. Everybody, when you're in college, you're lifting weights like that, but you forget like how you know big these guys are. Mike played in the NFL. Obviously, played at Alabama. So Mike, I don't see him or Bo like I used to. Bo obviously was a part of this show, but it was good to see everybody.
Bo
anyways,
talk to you, huh?
I'm sorry?
Bo talked to you, huh?
Yeah, he said what's up.
Yeah, okay.
Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. What you got, Big O?
Let's start here in the National Football League, guys. It was a really big hullabaloo in what to do when Aaron Rodgers decided that he wasn't going to go to mandatory OTAs. Instead, he was going to take a trip to Egypt, a place that he'd always wanted to go. Went to go to Egypt. And Robert Saleh was there, kind of left holding the bag, like, he's supposed to be here. It's excused. It's not like
he wasn't left holding the bag. He was an idiot.
Well, that too, yes. Nobody knew exactly what to say or how to say it.
No, yes, they did. They just chose not to say it.
Oh, they chose not to say it. Either way, Aaron didn't show up, and he's back now saying all the right things, I guess, or trying to say all the right things. But he was on the Part of My Take podcast, and they asked him about this unexcused absence, and Aaron said, like, hey, it's really not that big of a deal.
Was it a problem that it was inexcused?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I'll get fined for that. But
yeah.
The thing that I think people don't understand is that when I was in the NFC North and playing for that team years ago, there used to be a real thing called mini camp where it was you had one of them usually. Sometimes it was right after the draft. But either way, it was five practices in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So two practices on Friday, two on Saturday, one on Sunday. Now it's not mini camp. They can arbitrarily put a tag on whatever week of OTAs they want. So
yeah.
This is the mini camp week, which makes it somehow more mandatory than the other weeks. But it was an OTA schedule. That's how it's, you know, how words can be a little deceiving from time to time. You can make a story out of the fact that I missed a mini camp when it was really two OTA days.
Right. Interesting.
That came to the first 10.
Yeah, man, no, man. You buy that as a rational excuse as to why he did what he did?
Yeah, man. They knew about this. They knew he was going. He told them about it. And Robert Saleh chose to be a moron and throw his quarterback under the bus in front of the New York media and go, I don't know what's going on.
Unexcused.
All you had to do is say, even if they didn't know, all Robert Saleh did was walk up there and say, Aaron's not here. He's been excused from this. You know, I'll let you guys talk to him about where he is. We're not going to get into the personal details of where he is, but we knew about this ahead of time. We knew he was not going to be here. It's not a big deal. He was with us for the other OTA practices. We got everything we need out of him. And move on.
Wait a minute. But what if Robert Saleh didn't like the fact that Aaron decided to take his vacation?
Okay.
Right at the time that they're asking everybody else to be there.
You handle that ish behind closed doors. You know, you don't bring it out in public. It's like drinking at a remote when you're working. You don't do that. You don't bring it out in public. All right? So the point is that Saleh had a choice there to keep the stuff in-house or air the dirty laundry. He chose to air the dirty laundry.
I don't like the response of Aaron Rodgers because it's almost as if he's telling you that this was more serious back when I played with the Packers and the dates were, you know, they were
no,
more.
No, but I think he was alluding to.
No, that's what he was saying. He's giving you an excuse as to that this wasn't important.
But the way football has gone, like, you know, his early days, those mini camps, you used to be able to hit at.
Correct. Full pads.
Yeah, you used to be able to, like, not for, but at least for 2 days, like, it was different. Now this is just walkthrough stuff, 7-on-7s. Like, it's Aaron freaking Rodgers.
What's that mean? He's coming off of an Achilles. I get it.
I get it. Look, I'm never going to underscore the fact that it's the quarterback. It's the most important position in sports.
Leader.
And he should have been there. I'm not saying that. As far as getting ready for the regular season, as far as actual preparation, does this matter?
No.
Is this going to affect anything in September?
No, I don't think it does.
But that's the point.
But this is the principle behind it.
They could have lied to Aaron as rehabbing.
They could have, but they chose not to because I think it bothered Robert Saleh. Chose to do it right then.
And this is what scares me about the Jets, because all the talent is there. But your head coach ain't the guy. To this point, he's not the guy. And unless something changes dramatically with 17 games with Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, covers up a lot of warts for a lot of teams, right?
He's coming up as offensive coordinator, yeah. Nathaniel Hackett.
I mean, we know that. So, but Saleh can screw this whole thing up. He easily can. And that's the kind of emotional petulance that you don't want from your head coach. Like, does John Harbaugh ever do that? I don't know. Lamar's not here. It's inexcused. Does that ever happen on the Ravens?
No, it's never happened.
Does that ever happen with the Steelers and Mike Tomlin?
No, it doesn't happen.
Does that happen with Andy Reid?
No, it never happens.
I mean, that only happens with the Jets because the guy you hired to be a coach is a goof.
It's a dysfunctional organization.
Of course.
I'm going to say, though, I thought that's a lame excuse simply because he's dismissing it as if, well, when we did this in Green Bay, this is how it
no,
was.
No, you're right.
And I mean, then, by the way, this is not that big of a deal. He just downplayed it. So I'm going to say I don't agree with him.
I agree. Listen, if they win the first three games in September, this will be a distant memory.
Oh, no doubt.
Nobody will think twice.
And if they don't, it'll be front and center. What else you got, Big O?
Guys, do you know it's been 18 years since a right tackle has been inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
No, did not know that. That's a long time.
You know who else knows that?
Who?
Willie Young. Offensive lineman for the Bengals, played at Alabama, had a really, really good NFL career. Willie Anderson. Willie Anderson, though, is upset. Because there's a movie that came out that ruined the whole conception of what right tackles in the NFL should be and instead placed a premium on left tackles. He went on the Up and Adam show and talked about how a certain movie has ruined his Hall of Fame credibility.
I think the media had a bias because they just didn't understand the importance of the guys we blocked over there with some of the best rushes of all time. And the whole blindside thing got taken out because of the movie and it just got pushed. The right side guys got pushed away.
You think the Blindside movie had an effect on your Hall of Fame
absolutely.
Bit?
Absolutely. Oh, these kids here now, you got some kids who are 18, 19 years old that would tell you, because I trained kids out of my academy in Atlanta, I only want to play left tackle.
He's not lying.
Yes, he is.
He's not lying.
He's a three-time Hall of Fame finalist, by the way, has not gotten in.
That is a sorry excuse if I've ever heard.
Everybody wants to talk about left tackle. Nobody talks about right tackle.
Can I tell you something?
What?
You know what's changed in the NFL now more than anything?
You need a right tackle?
You got pass rushers on both sides.
You need a right tackle.
Right. You do need one now. It's different now. Back when he played, defenses weren't built like that, man. I mean, look. You ready? Dukes, the two teams, let's call three teams, that had legitimate pass rushers on both ends of on both sides of the field in our heyday. Bears.
Eagles.
Giants. That's it. Right? Like, it was not a commodity like it was now, the way every team is coming from all angles,
yes.
On all sides,
yeah.
And everything. It's just a different scheme and a different style and a different league.
I do feel like,
but the idea that the movie, come
on. It did. It did. Everybody fell in love with the movie. Sandra Bullock is, she's wonderful. The movie made $1 trillion.
Yeah.
And
you
guess
what?
He's right. Kids and see that.
You know what?
Pop culture effects.
Varsity Blues didn't get me my college scholarship to football. That's what it is. It must have been Varsity Blues because Tweeter, a.k.a.
the opinion,
did not have enough because Tweeter changed everything.
That offense was revolutionary. Nobody had seen that
oop-ty
offense.
Freaking
the oop to you. Nobody had seen the oop to you.
Give me a break. Oop to you.
Let me tell you something.
We got to be the dumbest smart kid I've ever seen.
Friday Night Lights change people's lives. How people perceive things to be is real. Everybody thinks the left tackle is the most important player on the offensive line. And in fact, it's the center.
Okay.
It just is.
When we get back, I want you to tell me a movie that changed your life.
That changed my life?
Because I know one of mine right off the top of the list. I mean, outside of every Italian mobster movie out there, that don't count.
I'll be happy to tell you the movie that changed my life completely next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.